You made it.
I'm here.
You're here.
Yeah.
Here's my question, and this is what I texted you.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you leave 10, 15 minutes earlier?
Well,
because of the construction you told me about
near
your neighborhood.
No.
And now you're 10, 15 minutes late.
It's not the construction. There's various things going on here. There's a lot of things happening here. First of all, the main thing was I couldn't get up earlier than 9 a.m. today because I fell asleep at 3 and I wanted 6 hours sleep. Less than 6 hours of sleep, you know what I'm doing? I'm just bleeding for no reason out of my nose and eyes and stuff. And on top of that, recent relocation. And now I'm even more in no man's land in this dumb area downtown where there's literally no subway access. And I just couldn't leave. I had a half an hour when I could leave. So I had to buy my coffee, make sure I had that. I had to buy a treat. I can't go on public transit, like, with no coffee on an empty stomach. I'll start crying in front of everybody. What else? I think that where you live is far from me. I don't understand why you haven't just booked a room at a library closer, more equidistant between our two places that we live. Like, a private room at a university library where we can do this. And, frankly, I just don't have my shit together.
Up to that last sentence, I was going to say you sound terribly like the adults on the Peanuts cartoons.
Wah, wah, wah. You know, actually, I found that that's like a huge problem in my act and stuff. Or even, I feel especially if I like have a legitimate complaint that's like about something that's actually physically hurting me. And the way, I always think the way that I phrase it to people sounds like the Peanuts adults and they can't help me and don't understand what's happening.
And they zone out.
They zone out, yeah. And then they're kind of mad. That, like, they can't pay attention to another human. So they're sort of resenting me.
That just sounds like our dynamic.
Yeah.
Or our texting.
I feel like you've probably been through some of that thing where, like, you are, like, trying to voice how much some, like, your hand is caught in a door and you're trying to tell some people and they just ignore you. I don't know why I picture that, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Flailing arms constantly in my head.
God. Sometimes you just want to hit an old person. With a car.
Where did that come from?
Well, I mean the anger in me.
Yeah.
No, wait, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I'm never going to do that, but I would hate to have that used against me in a court. I never want to go to court.
Can we get to the subject?
Today's interview.
Why we're here that brought us together.
We're back here. Welcome back to the Danko Jones official Danko Jones podcast.
This episode, we did a few months ago, let's be honest.
Let's be real.
Right after New Year's, I believe.
This one's in the can.
Yeah, it's been in the can for a while. I was slow with uploading a lot of podcasts due to the pre-production of our album, which is still underway and very excited about. But because I had anticipated this kind of podcast shutdown, we gathered a whole bunch of podcasts and we readied them for uploads like a spring day like today. So this was done in the winter with Sean Cullen.
Comedian Sean Cullen, appearance number 2.
Yeah, he was here a year and a half ago. And what can we say? We're huge fans of Sean.
Sean is somebody who I saw very early on when I was doing stand-up in Toronto. And I probably mentioned this the last time in an intro. And it was, I remember very distinctly seeing Corky and the Juice Pigs twice in one day.
I believe you mentioned that on the episode to him.
Yeah.
And I can see how you kind of get off on the fact that during this episode and the last episode, you and Sean, especially this one, you both of you are just kind of going tête-à-tête, just kind of this...
comedy talk?
Yeah.
Just, oh, God. Turning it into one of those podcasts, right? Shop talk?
No. Not shop talk, good. But you guys are just... freewheeling it all the way for the first 10 minutes. It's hard to keep up with you guys, especially when I'm trying to like engineer the podcast, but
that's all Sean. I mean, you know,
it's all comedian freewheeling backroom dressing room talk, which,
is it like nice. Riffing? Are we riffing?
Yeah. You guys are riffing, but I think when you're around Sean Cullen, a lot of riffing does take place.
You know, it's really weird. I don't actually do that very much. You know, it's very hard to get in like a comfortable zone, even as a comic, where you're like, haha, like laughing it up with your buddies, you know, your friend comedians. But certain comics can draw that out of you for whatever reason. Sean is good at that. You know, there's some other guy. There's some other guy who's good at that.
Sean and other guy.
Other man. No, I actually Mark Little from Picnic Face and Mr. D and stuff. I always find like I never do like some kind of weird character joke or running joke around people, except with Mark, it's like fun to do. I don't get, meanwhile, put me next to like Tim Gilbert or Chris Locke, some of my better friends in comedy. And it's like, just, you know, we're like mostly just talking about how we want to die and fall in a well. Speaking of, gets a little downcast on the podcast today.
Yes, okay, yes.
Should be called a downcast on the podcast.
This is actually a very interesting podcast with Sean because the first time we had him on, you know, it was more of a kind of an introductory kind of episode. This one, I felt he was a little more comfortable with you and I in this setting here at my place.
Oh, Danko, hello.
And
hi, I'm Sean Cullen.
That's almost spot on.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're listening to the Danko Jones podcast. This is Alec Baldwin, and I just wanted to say I did not bike backwards on that street.
Holy smokes. Yeah. You got any other ones you got to get out before we continue
let me see,
on?
Let me see. Alec Baldwin.
Sean Cullen.
I feel like I did do a half-decent impression recently of somebody, but I mean, I could try to do a Todd Perry impression, but I don't know how good it is.
Anyways, so Sean was on the podcast, and he, you know, the one thing he made mention of was his material is, you know, pretty straightforward. Not straightforward, but it's delivered. How would you describe it?
I would say that Sean's style is more absurd, and because of that, it's not as easy.
Rarely personal.
Right. It's not easy to tell what's going on with him, what he's really like necessarily, because he's really just up there kind of and freewheeling. And
he was comfortable enough to kind of let it all hang loose, as you will hear on the podcast. The one thing we did make mention, and I've said this before, I feel like I never throw any guest under the bus on this podcast. I never, just to make sure that, you know, we get as many listeners and juicy details
you never
left
murder
in.
A guest
no
by putting them up in front of a bus or and then under the bus
yeah
which is better than in front of a bus.
Undermine a guest. I'm always on their side if they have a problem with what they said. I try to keep the conversations as loose as possible, but during a loose conversation, you know, things get said that maybe you don't want a lot of people to hear about or know about. In this situation, you were the one who said, hey Sean, let's, you know, we can cut this stuff out if you want, because it was kind of getting personal. And he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't mind. He actually liked it because it was showing another side of himself. That
which is, you know, I think it's really
seen.
Cool. And I think it's a great, I mean, you know, Sean is like a thoughtful person. And you know, I think he is really emotional in a way. So it's kind of neat seeing that side in the podcast, rather. And it was great, you know, hearing him talk about that. Although I feel for him because I think, like, as we said, he's one of my favorites. He's always been nice. And so, you know, it's always weird. I can't imagine, like, if I were a dad, if I had to take care of a bunch of kids, dead kids, that's where we'd be at.
For you.
Kids would die.
Under
my care.
Under your supervision.
Pets I can handle. I'll dog sit for anyone. If you live in Catman somewhere and I can take care of your pets, I'll go there and do that.
Funny you mention that, because you were talking about that off the mic. You will be dog-sitting for somebody shortly.
I am sort of dog-sitting for someone right now, although I'm actually sort of the second dog-sitter, and the dog is currently away. Like, all I have to do is, like, maybe if the dog-sitter does something wrong or misses a feeding, I'll just put some food out for this little pup. But I can walk your dog, I can pet your cat, take care of your cat, especially if you live in, like, Spain. I know that you don't have that much money, but I'll eat the airfare.
Would plants die under your care?
No, I actually watered a plant today. My friend told me, water the plant every couple days. I've been watering it every couple days. So they might die, but you know, I would attempt to water it. My whole thing is like, get shit done, but don't do it right.
And you are living at other people's places.
Yeah, I'm living in other humans' lives, basically. I'm like treating the world like
a giant motel.
No, I was gonna say like an abandoned set or something. You know, it's like I broke into an IKEA. And I'm just sleeping in like one of the.
You're squatting, basically.
Yeah, that was what I said yesterday. I was doing a show and I said I sleep in a children's. A child's bed whose name I don't know. Like, I don't even know the kid's name.
You know, it sounds like a joke, but...
Well, I'm actually not sleeping in the kid's bed.
How true is it? Oh, okay.
So there are children's bed, and I don't know the children's names. But yeah, what's the next move? Back to L.A., I say.
Why does talk, even as far as someone else, go back to you in L.A.? We were talking about Sean Cullen.
Let's wrap it into Sean again.
Anyways, this was a great episode with Sean.
It's really fun having him.
And he's, as you will hear and you heard on the first podcast, he is a very, very, very funny man.
He hosted the Writers Guild Awards a couple of weeks ago. He was really amazing.
Oh, wow.
And just a great host and a really world-class talent, you know? And does a voice of... Brainless on Oh No, lots of other voices and stuff. He's, you know, all over Canadian television, essentially.
Dino Dan.
I mean, just everything. He's really got almost carte blanche in a weird way. And like,
yeah.
Canadian TV, you'll hear his voice. You'll see him host things, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a feather in the cap to have Sean Cullen almost part of the Black Coffee Brigade. One more appearance.
Close enough. And yeah. He also has the respect... Well, you know, especially in the U.S., I think he's really, especially in Los Angeles where he spent a lot of time, I think a lot of comics really appreciate him. You know, you can always hear him on the Doug Benson podcast. I think he's been on Comedy Bang Bang before. You know, most of the time when podcasts come to town, he is part of them. You know, whether it was Matt Berry, I think, and I think when even the guys from Mighty Boosh were here. Rich Fulcher and Matt Berry were here.
Oh, wow.
And he was the moderator for that. And yeah. Wow. So
that's pretty heavy, man.
I mean, yeah, Sean is in there, you know, and I hope he, and I'm sure he will just continue to be because he's actually as sharp as ever. You have to say something now. It's your podcast.
Well, let's start it.
Okay. The Daniel Jones podcast is the best around. It's not a kid, it's Daniel's go out to for free. I'm sad, glad I like to sometimes. Timmy in from fucked up. Stop playing.
He's back.
Hello.
We got Sean Cullen back on the podcast. It is, again, an honor to have Sean on. And the first time you were on was a year ago, or a year and a half ago.
Jeez.
And since that time, both Nick and I have been on your podcast.
It's individually. Gone well. It's gone well. Are you happy about that?
Yeah, I'm happy. It was a blast.
I enjoyed it.
I loved it.
I'm glad. I'm ripping open a banana right now.
Yeah,
you have a celebration. Every year and a half, I open a banana and remember that magic time we had together.
Potassium ritual, you know.
Oh, potassium-rich food.
Yeah.
It really is. It's tremendous. Yeah, yeah. I always remember reading the book Thinner by Stephen King.
Go on.
When he's dying and he's basically starving to death. Have you ever, you know the story?
I know the story, yeah.
He's cursed by a gypsy woman.
As we all are.
This is all very... Yeah. Very PC, but he's cursed by a Roma lady.
Yes. Right.
And Imani. She's losing, he keeps losing weight, and he keeps carrying around bags of oranges and bananas mm-hmm. to get his potassium level up to keep his heart going.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I've always thought of him. when I eat a banana.
So that was very cinematic, probably, in the film, with just this guy running around.
Net bag full of oranges and bananas.
Because I remember that was one
that's
of those.
So suspenseful.
Stephen King movies are kind of like, they kind of have this Woody Allen-like trajectory, you know, where it's like, at some point.
Okay, just buy that the guy's, you know, like, he's starving to death, all right?
Someone should do like a Sleepwalkers mixed with like Small Time Crooks double bill, because they're like...
Okay, just, okay, pets come back from the dead. This is the premise. Buy it, and then we'll move on.
We're going to introduce the idea of Edward Furlong's hair into this this one. We think that'll cover up any holes in the plot.
For sure. For sure. Haunted cars seem to come back for Stephen King a lot. But this is the thing about Stephen King. Somehow, when you read his books, it's all, yeah, I get it, I'm in, and right. It's amazing.
Jeez, what happened?
I don't know. I just lost your shit for a second, you know?
It's crazy.
The night is dark and full of terrors.
But how many kings is that now? Six? That's right.
I like the Hound.
I love the Hound. That guy is wonderful. And the character is actually really interesting in the book, too. There's a little
bit more. His face is burned.
His face is burned, and he's a great actor who's, like, gigantic. And if you see him on, there's some footage on YouTube of him, like, singing blues rock in New Orleans. That's kind of...
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
This is my life. This is like being on tour.
What do you mean?
Listening to you guys talk about a show I haven't seen.
Yeah, this is just you listening to JC and...
Life is a show you haven't seen, Danko.
Yeah, man.
When Breaking Bad was happening, when it was winding down, I had to stay away from everybody while they watched the new thing and the new episode, and then I had to...
So what are you, like a Gremlins guy?
No, well, I'm just so out of it when it comes to some of these things that I have to catch up. So I have been catching up with Breaking Bad, but now I have to. I see that I have to catch up with Boardwalk Empire.
You could just live your life, you know.
You really could. Yeah. I've been watching. I don't know. I've moved into an apartment, so I have a phone. I have no TV really. Yeah. I have a TV, but it's a web TV, so I just get Netflix and stuff. So I'm getting back and doing that. And I'm watching Fringe. Fringe is another show. I absolutely loved it. It's a great show.
How many seasons?
Five.
It's on season five?
Yeah, it's over now, though. It ended in season five. Oh, so okay.
It's pretty much across the board, like a good show, though, season to season, would you say? Sometimes I worry.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem is, like, say something. I used to love Battlestar Galactica, the new Battlestar Galactica. Oh, yeah, but once in a while, they'd have an episode that was just like, you're just like... No, you have to have 23 episodes in this season, and so you're just kind of wandering around one of the ships investigating gambling or something. And you're like, I don't really want to – why don't we get back to the real story? And so that – they don't have many shows like that. Yeah. They managed to integrate a lot of great stuff. And you know who's in it is Richard Harris's son.
Oh, what's his name?
You know who I mean? He's in Mad Men and strangles himself. He plays Lane. And
I had no idea that was Richard Harris's son.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sherlock Holmes. He's Moriarty.
I didn't even know that. That guy is a really good actor.
Oh.
And he has that great part in Mad Men. He's actually one of the best actors in Mad Men, I thought. One of the most interesting characters. When his dad just hits him with the cane.
The cane.
Or whatever. Yeah.
And he's like, he's dating a Playboy bunny. A black girl. And the father comes over to see him and just says, you can't do this. And then beats him with a cane.
Yeah.
And it somehow seems stop it.
It seemed to represent, like, Britishness of some sort of...
Well, at that point, they were still very separate.
Yes.
You know? And now the world is, like, cosmopolitan.
Everything's gone crazy.
Everything's lost its borders. It's bleeding into one another. Where are potassium now?
Welcome to the prejudiced official Danko Jones podcast. Where we're just... I think we've got to turn back the clock.
I'm not even saying,
I was going
to
stop at Three's Company.
No, I was not saying American Civil War. I'm going back to, like, 1000 BC,
yeah, man.
Where people just died.
90% of the population.
Building me gigantic stone blocks,
yes.
Houses.
Can you imagine me as a slave? I would have been.
You would have been great. You know what? So? You would have been an overseer. You would have been beating your own. Yeah, for sure. You would have found a way to kind of like make people work for you.
Right.
You'd be the what was that guy's name? Edward G. Robinson. Hey there. Dance, you mud turtles.
I'd love to be like that. That would be great.
Yeah, you know who
he's an influence.
Ten
Commandments.
Yeah,
he's an influence, isn't he?
Oh, for sure.
Edward G. Robinson. Now that you never thought of his name,
I can do one voice.
I can see
him. Hey.
How's it going, everybody?
That's amazing. It's uncanny.
You can do Steve-O from Jackass.
Did you go into the next universe and just grab that one out?
Imagine the guy in the next universe is better at impressions.
I bet. Imagine there was actually, like, right now I was just trying to live. Like, I'd heard that in the alternate universe there was, like, a really good, successful version of me, and I was just like, I'm just reaching for that in this universe.
I know, and you're never going to have it.
I might. I have faith.
I don't think
I'm going to Los Angeles. I think your faith I'll is die. Misplaced. Do you think I'll die in Los Angeles?
No.
Do you think
no
I'll
one
cry?
Dies in Los Angeles.
Nobody has ever died there, for sure. Except for Marilyn.
Yeah, true.
Jane.
Good point.
Jane. If you're busty,
you're done. Jane Mansfield.
Lohan.
Decapitated.
Decapitated.
She was decapitated in
the
car crash.
Yeah, it's great. She was like had just joined the Church of Satan or something.
Yeah, who hasn't?
I am constantly just joining the Church of Satan and then canceling it with the 24-hour thing.
Yeah, you can step back. It's kind of a, what is it, a cool-down? What is that what they call it? The cool-down clause?
Yeah, the cool-down clause.
Yeah.
Once you've cooled down a bit.
Yeah, you're like, hey, this isn't really a good idea.
No way, LeVay.
Now that I've thought about it, Satan seems like a non-sympathetic character for me.
Have you ever read Master and Margarita?
No.
Well,
is it by Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah, it's actually basically just
Anton Buffett.
The song "Cheeseburger in Paradise" translated to Russian.
Oh my God, that's amazing!
I was just in Niagara Falls, and there was like a giant Margaritaville Jimmy Buffett restaurant that I did not go to, but I kind of wish I had.
It was a Jimmy Buffett themed restaurant.
I just had a thought that if the women ever had a professional baseball, you know, you'd be the San, and if there was teams, you know, you'd have like the San Francisco Giants,
right?
And then their sister team would be the San Francisco the Giants. I don't know why that came to me, but it really made
I'm
me
glad
laugh
it
for
came
a second.
To you.
The Giants.
It came to you.
I'm trying to think.
The Giants.
And then if China had a sister
country,
that's
a good band name.
Yeah. There was. I'm trying to. I feel like.
Were you in Niagara Falls for a band? For
no,
a show?
I was
a
Giant Festival.
I was there for the Vagiant Festival. You know.
Yeah, well, they have that big statue of a giant out in front of the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum.
They actually show
the biggest woman in the world.
Right. It's a wax museum.
Yeah.
Made out of wax.
Yes, it's made out of wax.
A giant.
There's a haunted house that takes place in a Vagiant. You just walk inside of this.
The haunted Vagiant.
Yeah, and then you know they show the movie Giant, starring James Dean, directed with a great Gordon Stevens,
and
they
all giant related.
exactly. What's the movie projector shaped like?
Oh, it's not
big,
even
huge.
What does a movie projector smell like?
Musty, slick.
It's all about the 2 minutes of me accidentally saying music instead of movie and then backtracking before getting to a smelly vagina joke that I think really
horrifying
will not guaranteed that not making it in the podcast.
I'm sorry, we're not allowed to say bad words in the podcast.
No,
we can say as many bad words as
but
we want.
Why would you? Why you resort to that?
Why say cack?
Why say penis on your face?
Why
with
say
diaper in your hair?
Dongs or chooch or
I mean, Sean's,
flower.
Sean's here for a second time. Thank
you,
Sean.
Thank you.
And
did you appreciate the formlessness of our visit today?
I love it.
Oh,
well, on the other hand, Sean's podcast is
your podcast is great.
Is it? It's a little regimented. It's more regimented than this.
Well,
I think
it's more bite-sized.
We have three segments where the first segment is just me meandering and then occasionally doing a little sketch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second section
and
is
it's all improv, right?
Yeah. And then we usually do a scene of some kind where it's like awkward family conversations where, for example, there's a boy who's with his dad and the boy's like 21 and he's like, well, we've decided to abort you. We should have done it earlier, certainly, but why wait? Why, like, we've made a mistake and, you know, we think we'd like to get that back. So that sort of thing. So it's not nice. There's a lot of meanness to it.
But it's said with a smile.
All love.
Always
all
with love.
Love and dreams.
And it's on Sirius XM?
It's Super Sirius XM.
Isn't it also like involved with like a podcast network or something?
Well, we have we have the Pod Almighty.
The Pod Almighty Podcast Network.
So you took it from like live Rivoli tapings?
Well,
into
but it's so unwieldy. The problem is that, you know, you find is trying to get someone to commit to coming in on a nighttime show that's live. Right. And it's much more... well, user friendly, just to say, show up at 1 o'clock at my house, or you know, it's easier to pre-tape it and all that.
Yeah.
But we still do live ones. We did a, we just did a Christmas one where, and the live ones are more like I have my friend, my co-pilot, Mark Edwards, who's a really funny guy.
Yeah.
He plays piano and he's a great improviser on the piano. So we have people come in with, like, we give them a little slip of paper and they write ideas for songs. And this Christmas one was all Christmas carols. And we would make up Christmas carols basically for the hour and a half. And it gets stupid.
That's so
it gets really weird.
That's and that's like that kind of improvising stuff like that on the fly in terms of like song ideas. Have you done that before, right?
Yeah,
that,
all the time.
Is that like, is that like really satisfying for you?
It is incredibly satisfying. Yeah. I really enjoy doing that. I don't know. I like making things up.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cheating because you should probably work harder and craft things.
But on
but
the
do
other
you
hand,
find is that your stand up is it? Is it like a mixture of that, or is
well,
it like a bit
of a... Well,
what
happens is I can't sell me going on to, like, the Conan show and improvising for 8 minutes. That's where I run into problems, where I can't count on them having faith in me to be able to do that. So I have to go and I have to write material, or, like, if I get for Just for Laughs, I was just there, I had to write material.
Right, I remember when you were running all that stuff.
And I'm just doing it over and over and hoping it's funny, but for me it's not as... live and not as satisfying as.
But was that 8 minutes you wrote, was that, did you get a chance to like do it in front of us, a warm up?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did it like repeatedly for like 2 or 3 weeks before the festival. And I was going through, it was an awesome time because my wife had just decided to split up with me.
No.
And I was working on new material. It was awesome. So I was like, okay, I'm trying to be funny and weep at the same time.
Yeah.
But it was good. On the other hand, it could yield some
great stuff.
Great humor.
Well, and you know, I'm trying to figure out, people don't really want to hear about what I'm really living. I don't think that's what they like about me. I think they like, I process it and it comes out in other ways.
Right.
But as a performer, I don't think they really want to know about me as a person. That, which is kind of weird, and I think it's one of the reasons why I haven't done better or am not more widely successful, because people don't know who I am.
Yeah, bared it all.
People don't, like, people love Lucky Louie. They love Louis C.K. because it's about his life and they can relate to it, you know, or you know, Larry David or whoever. Mm-hmm. And I kind of talk about squirrels and not hiding and farming and, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Nobody wants
and
to
no
hear
one
about
gets
farming,
inside
bro.
My life. But, you know, I'm just trying to figure out if it's funny or not because I just feel sad about it. But then I think my wife says she wanted to leave, but she's in my house. And I left.
Right.
So this is how weird it gets. Like, wait a minute. I was, you said I'm leaving, and that meant I left.
Yeah.
And then you like my things, which I got, but not me around them. You would, if I had not been around the things would have been much better for you.
Yeah, you should have just, the whole thing, just like sort of made some deal where just, here's, she should have married your stuff.
This is the thing.
Eventually,
if I could have introduced her to a suite of furniture that she might have enjoyed. But I don't understand. You get married and it's all these things that say, for better or for worse, sickness and health, all of these things. And then someone just says, you know, we had money trouble. I hate you now. And you're like, wait a minute. Whoa, this is not, this is in the program. This is at the beginning. They mentioned this, right? But anyway.
I think society has a fascination with the honeymoon stage of the honeymoon stage of relationships and weddings and all that. But nobody focuses on when all that's swept aside and it's real now. Nobody
living everybody. With your children, raising kids, being tired,
being so tired
all the time. Yeah. And it is hard, but people used to just deal with it. And there was no one saying to you all the time on TV or in songs
That's what I mean.
Or in everything like, hey, you should be happy all the time.
Right. Hey, you should be, there's a great contentment in the world and other right. people are experiencing it and you're not.
But, right. you know, beyond even that, I think that a big thing that happens now is this idea that no matter who you are, no matter what you do, what you're doing is great for you. Because you're you. You know what I mean? That like I feel like that's a big thing where people go, no, man.
I understand that
you
point.
You cheated, and that made sense, actually, if you think about it. You know, you need to get these hand jobs because you're a hard-working man.
Well, people can justify any kind of behavior now.
Yeah. You know, like, and I think that the idea of someone... You know, there's all of these different levels of stakes that we fucking go through in relationships where somebody bails, right? That's like, and it can be when you're like, because you're depressed for like a month or something, you know, and they're like, I can't handle it, you know, or because of money, you know.
Here's my mom. She's here. My mom lived with my dad, yeah. and they were married for 50 years.
Yeah.
No, not 50 years. I mean, it was like 40 years, mm-hmm. long time. Mm-hmm. He was like had an alcoholic. He had you know, he was not the easiest man to live with. But she didn't mm-hmm. go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like you just those people don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And like nowadays you're like, oh, this hurts, I have to stop. Mm. Like any kind of discomfort, this yes. is what I've experienced yeah. in my personal, any kind of discomfort is completely outrageous.
Yeah. Well, I think people have to I think that people should get away from that kind of
darkness.
Yeah, yeah, that marriage setup. I get that, but yeah, they go yeah. to the extreme. Extreme
where it's meaningless.
One yeah. small little thing, and yeah, clink in the armor, and you got to change it.
But don't we want to have sex with everything?
Well, yeah, but I mean, what you learn, you know, sure. Some, point you some people do there, that. Yeah, yeah but yeah. some, you know, but I just think that the depth and the like. The understanding you gain from knowing one person and committing to them and being there in that mm-hmm. thing, you learn so much about yourself
yeah.
from that. And but, people don't want to know that.
But that period of a relationship between two people, it's all about the beginning and the end. It's never about the second act of a relationship.
No one ever tells you or can instruct you about that.
Yeah, though. Well, that's the problem is because no one can instruct you, then you've got this thing which is just like, well, Richard Pryor's joke, right? And he actually says it about men and not women, where he goes like, fuck it then. You know, that's what we're like. We're just like, fuck it then. You know, like if once shit gets weird and it's like, and maybe we are like that if a woman comes to you with some sort of a problem where they go, you know, I don't know what to do. About your whatever, insert their thing here, and then you go, you know what? Fuck it. I'll go away to my apartment. You can hang out with my things, you know?
Well, it's just
I'll leave the country.
My experience yeah. was just that, you know, we had two kids. It got very hard. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then you just, it became, I don't like to be talked to in the morning. This, I don't like to be touched or talked to in the morning. And then at night, it'd be, I'm very tired because these kids are exhausting. I don't want you to touch me mm-hmm. or talk to me at night. So I was like, well, when is the time
yeah.
where we touch and talk to each other? Right. When is that? And that isn't just, and then I'm, you know, needy. I'm a needy man because I get no affection and I'm wondering why
yeah.
no one likes me.
Yeah.
But you, if someone says, hey, buddy, says to your wife, hey, let's go out and do something fun. She's like, yes. I'm mm-hmm. totally into that, mm-hmm. but then come home with no energy. And yeah. I go like, well, why? This is what we signed up for.
Right.
You know, this is, yeah. I don't know. I guess insight. I've been told by my ex that I've gained a lot of insight. But my insight is that I should stay away from someone like you. That's my insight. So I guess that's
good insight.
Yeah, it's great insight. For all the wrong reasons.
And look,
I'm an extremely motivated person. I create a lot of things.
Yeah.
I do things. I write books. I mm-hmm. do all that. I'm not the easiest man to live with.
You probably fart.
I shat myself and then flung it on the walls.
Yeah.
But they were my walls that I paid for.
You were doing method acting for Rocket Monkeys.
Well, I shat and shat and shat. And I painted it, painted the town brown.
I want a divorce based on the grounds of you having biological functions.
You shit so hard on the walls that I'm sick of it.
I'm actually going through something very odd right now.
Oh, you're pregnant.
I am junior'd up.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to spit something out of my butt.
Nice.
and it's going to have two legs, two arms, and a beating heart. And
oh, my God. This sounds amazing.
Name it, I'm going to name it Butt Babe.
Butt Baby.
Butt Baby. Butt Baby.
Oh.
What a cute little bird.
So why did this turn into a therapy session for people?
I actually feel bad. It started with you saying that you felt like your comedy was not necessarily as widely spread as it was because whatever that means.
But, well, you haven't been more open.
And I think that right now there's a lot of there's a lot of trendiness going on in comedy, and it's a weird playing field. I feel like, and I don't know if you feel this way too. It's almost like in the 80s or in early 90s where there was like one unified comedy voice. It's just that the comedy
it's
voice
It's become
is
like music. It's
now.
Fractured. Like yeah. the industry, music industry
yeah, there's
has
niches.
Got no center anymore.
Yeah, so there's no, niche. There's some niche stuff that's really wonderful, but there's a lot of stuff that and actually Jason Rice was talking about this of all people. There's this sort of generic nerd who gets it kind of thing that's going on.
Podcasts.
There's but podcasts, I love them.
Yeah, I know, but they also appeal to, like, I go on a podcast, some podcasts.
Nice.
Like, I went on to, I was called at the last minute to do, what's the one with Scott Aukerman?
Comedy Bang Bang.
Comedy Bang Bang. Yep. And they're doing a live show in Toronto at the Danforth Music Hall. It's sold out, and they call me at the last minute, and I've never listened to Comedy Bang Bang before.
Yeah.
So I get on there, and I'm doing it, and I'm with, like, I know these guys
like
from
Paul F. Tompkins
Paul F. Tompkins and I, and Scott, and we're just doing things. And I got so much negative Twitter afterwards because I didn't respect the podcast. And, you know, you had a one guy, I remember, said, you had a great opportunity being around amazing comics, and you totally blew it. Maybe that's why you're not more popular. And I was like,
oh, my God. Don't you want to send a virus to his Twitter account?
Yeah, and I'm just saying, like, that just breeds a lot of horrible meanness.
Yeah.
Like, and people own the podcast. Like, they say the listeners own it, and you can't fuck with it. Like, don't you respect it? And I'm like, and people are saying, why don't you? You should, you know, if you're going to be on a podcast, maybe you should listen to it before you go on.
And you're like,
and I said, I don't have time. One, I heard about it an hour before. Two,
yeah, but that was the whole point of podcasting.
And three, you've known these people for like so long. You were doing the live comedy death ray ages ago, like just the show itself, and you know, and actually in terms of, you know, I think that the one world that's seems like really appreciative of you is a lot of these guys, like a lot of these people who have podcasts now and are like and love your stuff.
Well, Doug Benson is a good friend of mine, and you know, and I love those guys. I love the podcast too, but you know, it's just there is that kind of weird fandom.
I think you're due for your WTF episode pretty soon. That's what I think.
Really? I personally would say
I did
that.
One.
You did,
what?
But you did a live one. I'm talking
in Montreal.
You got to sit down with Mark and talk about stuff because I think. And I think it takes a while sometimes for him. There's you know, to get on people. But I think it would be great, you know. And I think
he seemed to enjoy me on the show when I was in Montreal.
You were really funny on it. I remember
That was weird. And then I did one. Yeah, that's the one I did. And
I got to dig that one up. When was that? When
did
that
was in Montreal a year before. Jeremy Hotz on it?
I don't remember if he was on yours or was Mike Wilmot on yours or was
no.
So yours was the year before in 20. Yours was 2012.
Yeah. 2012, just for laughs. It would have been July.
Okay. Well, around the time you were on our podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, it was heavy podcast.
Podsmast.
Podsmast, guys.
Yes.
Well. There's a certain way we say well. It seems like I feel like I've run into you like at least almost every month, you know, since this whole thing started and I have a good feeling ultimately for you.
Well,
I think that it seems like it's really hard.
Are
you,
you
know?
Using
I
it?
I can't imagine.
Are you using it and turning it into your stand up?
Not really. I haven't really wanted to talk about it. I feel like the thing is I've been probably talking more about it on Twitter and like Facebook than I should be, but like I did kind of like a because it, I feel like that's what social media is kind of should be for, to get some
venting.
Support, not like just to you know,
Facebook
just to, like,
definitely
I'm feeling like shit, and you know, stuff
like it's
that.
Like when girl I see girls do this all the time, they do selfies and then all their girlfriends go,
hey, gorgeous.
Yeah, I know.
There's a big thing where a girl with, as long as her face isn't falling off, exactly. You know, like, they'll be like, so pretty.
Wow. You know, I've just been trying gorgeous. To meet some nice people, and I've been going out and... You know, if someone says, would you like to go out? Yes, I'll say yes. I will out and talk to people.
Well, I'll keep that in mind.
You know, so if you, you know, I've been trying to just go out and perform. Because, you know, what I found with my life, too, is because I had to work so hard to make money and to take care of the family and all of that, I just became inverted. Like, my whole life became that, and I would just want to go home.
Yeah.
Like, I work, and then I just want to go home. Mm-hmm. And now that's been taken away. Uh-huh. Someone said, you don't have that. Uh-huh. So now I'm just like, I should make friends.
Hey, buddy, I haven't talked to you in 3 years.
Well, how's it going? I'm not a very outgoing person in that way. Like, I would sit at home for hours and days watching TV.
But I would hear stories about you, though. People, like, in the 90s being just, like, really outgoing and gregarious and having a lot of fun. I would hear tales of these things.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, that's probably wrong.
Well,
I don't know. Well, I think I'm an out... I'm a shy extrovert.
Yes.
I guess is what
right,
I am.
Right.
But I mean, you have to kind of. In the past, I've been coaxed out of my I'd have to be coaxed out of the house.
Yeah.
But now I'm just like, I should go and look at people because I'm sad.
Sean, you know you have an open invitation onto the podcast.
To be here. Well, we're so happy to have you.
Yes, we welcome you every single time.
I'm in love to be welcomed.
So we'll see you in a year and a half.
Okay.
At least.
Thanks, Sean.
All right.
Here we go. This is how it starts. Everything's fine. You're living the dream. Drinking the wine runs out. The sun goes down. The circus is calling. And you are the clown in a shitstorm. Yes, the shit's pouring down like.